It's a great morning. Caleb just said, I found my keys. It's a miracle. He is still working. I tell you. It's an inside joke for anybody who doesn't know. Caleb is the best. If you want to play hide and seek with anything you really, really want, just ask Caleb to take care of it for you. Okay? Is that right? Maybe. Maybe. We took a trip to Sevierville once. I know that's totally off, but he shows up. He's like, I don't know where my wallet is. It's gone. I said, you just came on up? He's like, yeah, I probably won't find it for a while. Yeah. So, yeah. Man, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Everybody doing all right this morning? Excited? How exciting is for me? My mom and my daddy had a birthday. My brother from another mother had a birthday, and what Nicole is going to have a birthday. And what Nicole calls our fourth child is it has a birthday today. So, man, what an exciting day to celebrate their birthdays. I'm just thankful to have each and every one of y'all in my life. But as we get into a series, man, you guys haven't heard that word in a while, have you? Sermon series. I want to thank John for some long talks. We came to the conclusion that we must have some blood or something on down the line, because when we get to talking, we love to keep on talking. Yeah, I was surprised my wife didn't give an amen right there. But yeah, we do. So simply grace. Simply grace. That sounds, that almost sounds too easy. But us Christians know it's not just easy, right? But it sounds so easy. Simply grace. Simply grace. Now, we've got three things in the next few weeks that we want to keep in mind. And you guys have heard me say this, and we've heard it in different areas, whether you watch some documentaries or you read books. But three things that we want to keep in mind in this next series are these words: by grace, through faith, in Jesus. That's it. Nothing else. By grace, through faith, in Christ Jesus. That's it. And although that sounds so simple, it can get so complicated. It can get so complicated whenever we have these identities of ourselves, right? And we have these identities of what our church needs to look like. And then we have this idea that my church needs to succeed, even if it's at the failure of another church. So I need to make sure that we have this and we keep doing this. And then we don't want any problems. So if you want to come here, you got to line up with this way and do this sort of thing. And then all of a sudden, we have so many rules that come into play that we're so busy trying to follow the rules of, you know, three sugars and two creamers if you want to go to Fireside. If you don't like the creamer, you need to go on down the road, right? We get so interested in those little rules, and some of us consider it goofy rules, that we forget the whole process of what it means to be a follower of Christ. By grace, through faith, in Christ. Not by the coffee pot through three sugars and two creamers in Fireside Fellowship. We have all these different ideas, and we think that this is like a struggle that just modern contemporary right now churches have, right? Or any churches in general. Like, we really want to talk about, if you're a contemporary church, you want to talk about all the legalism that goes on everywhere else, but we don't want to seek and look at the own legalism in our own lives, right? And we want to talk, if we're more of a legalistic church, about all the things that everybody else does wrong and how they don't follow things in the way that we would follow them, and we must be the only ones right. And we have this idea that tears apart the gospel that we try to preach, that people are outside trying to listen to, and they don't understand, well, which is which? Do I need to wear a tie to go to church? Do I have to bring that certain version of Bible to go to church there? You know, If you guys look on the back of your pews, if anybody is visiting with us today, we have a Bible in the back. And if you read the little note on it, it says, we'd love for you, if you do not have a Bible, or you don't know somebody, or you know somebody that doesn't have a Bible, please take it, use it, give it to them. And then all of a sudden, one of the questions come up, but that's a CSB Bible. Are you guys only CSB? Well, no, but one of the many Bibles that I use is a CSB, and I'm more than likely will preach out of it. And for someone coming in that doesn't understand, well, the last thing that I want to do is have confusion when some words don't line up. My goal is to try to proclaim the gospel in a way that points to Christ and only Christ. So if you guys want to open up your Bibles to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians. This is, that's awesome, little feller. I'm telling mama, hey, you better turn to Galatians chapter 2. All right. Galatians chapter 2. So we know Paul is writing a letter to the Galatians, right? Galatians chapter 2. Starting at verse 11 says, and before we read, let's pray. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you for just allowing your spirit to come in this morning, Lord, and to be able for us to give us the ability to be able to worship freely, Lord. And Lord, that I ask that you allow us not to take that freedom to worship you lightly, Lord. That we worship you with such passion as if we don't know if we can another day, Lord, that we just have to worship you. We have to sing our praises to you, Lord. Lord, I ask as we read your word that you just come into our minds, into our bodies, into our lives, and allow us to take in that word and to implement it into everything that we do. Lord, I ask that everything that we read in your word, that we take it back to that simple truth that we're talking about by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you. I need you and love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Galatians chapter 2, verse 11. But when Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For he regularly ate with Gentiles before certain men came from James. However, when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, because he feared those from the circumcision party. Then the rest of the Jews joined his hypocrisy, so that even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were deviating from the truth of the gospel, I told Cephas in front of everyone, if you who are a Jew live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, how can you compel Gentiles to live like Jews? We are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. And yet, because we knew that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we ourselves have believed in Christ Jesus. This was so that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. Because by the works of the law, no human being will be justified. But if we ourselves are also found to be sinners while seeking to be justified by Christ, is Christ then a promoter of sin? Absolutely not. If I rebuild those things that I tore down, I show myself to be a lawbreaker. For through the law, I died to the law so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died for nothing. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you for your word. Lord, I ask in these moments afterwards as we discuss your word that you just make it evidently clear what you're trying to say to us through Paul, Lord. I love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. One of the first things that I got when reading this is one of the questions that come up for a lot of people is, okay, we're getting to the beginning, and a lot of people think about this guy, Cephas. Cephas, and automatically we think of another. For those of us that haven't studied and dug into the Word and remembered some of the Scriptures, we think this is just another, probably Pharisee, right? Or another guy that is just lost. Maybe he's a preacher somewhere that hey, Paul was having to come in and say something to. We think those things, and sometimes when we read our Bibles, when we don't get the backstory, when we don't get the knowledge, the fullness of the Word doesn't come through. So as I was reading this, I said, man, I need to really get in here. There is another name for this man, Cephas. Cephas. The name is Peter. Whoa, whoa, wait a minute. We got to be a different Peter, right? Got to be a different Peter, just like John, right? So Terry and I have this running thing. So now if we talk about John, thank goodness John Davis has come in, because now we have like three Johns that we have to worry about, right? So surely this is another Peter. It can't be the rock Peter. That guy's solid. He set up the church. He is the rock that Jesus talked about. He can't be lost. It can't be. How often do we find ourselves in that position where we are supposed to be something and then we have fallen astray? All of a sudden, other things start meaning more to us. All of a sudden, the important things get a little more important to us, and the things that are really, really important start slacking away. Kind of like planting a church and going out and saying that we're going to proclaim the gospel to everybody else and then worrying more about the people inside the building than we are the people outside. Remember that fire that we used to have? Some of us still have. Not to get a wall painted, but to get the life saved. Not to worry about getting the best looking grass out there in the world, but getting another member in the kingdom. You know what I'm talking about? All of a sudden we get a little lost in what we got to do, what makes us look good, right? You can't have a bush that isn't all the way trimmed up in front of the doors. You know, you can't do that. We can't go worry about talking to somebody across the road. We got to get that trimmed up. People won't come back. Got to sweep off that porch before you go talk to somebody. Peter's kind of run into the same situation here. Peter starts listening to the people that he's proclaiming to. And I'm sorry, John, but I have to say this. This morning, it has been stuck in my head. Ever since we talked about it, John, this morning we were having this conversation, and he said, I just imagine when Peter comes up that somebody, the rock, and he, you know, can you smell what Peter is preaching? You know, so I get a joke. It's I know it's goofy, but I get that as I read in here. I automatically think that because Peter's supposed to be solid, yet he comes in and Paul says, however, when they came, he withdrew and separated himself because he feared those from the circumcision party. See, what we have is we have a bunch of these former Jews that have claimed to live for Christ, right? So they know the law, they know all the things that they have to do to be within the law, and then beyond that, they know all the things that the church says you need to do, and some things make sense. Some things make absolute sense. As a matter of fact, if you grow up in a church that your entire life that you were told that you needed to wear a tie, all of a sudden, wearing a tie makes perfect sense because you've done it for generations and your dad did it and your grandpa did it and his great-grandpa did it and I'm pretty sure Jesus did it. Right? It makes sense because we've done it forever. And yet we need to implement some of those things when something new comes in. It isn't just good enough that Jesus came and died on the cross. We need more. We need to make ourselves feel better by doing more. Yet we put all of this effort and these things in our life that just water down the gospel. They take away from grace. Heard it preached one time that there was a lot of youth kids, a lot of kids, they were breaking out their iPads. You know, you're not supposed to have iPads in church. Or breaking out their phones, you know. Need to put those away. And they were reading their Bible on their phones. Why were they doing that? That's something outside of the ordinary. That's something different. We can't be doing that. You need to get your paper back. If you're really, really good and you're a super Christian, you got a nice leather bound with your name on it. And you need to break it out and you need to read it. And you need to feel the pages on your fingers. And we forget about the fact that every single kid that I know of that is above like 18 months old now has a cell phone. And they carry their cell phones around with them constantly. And they're constantly with their faces in it. And they're taking selfies, and they're looking up stuff, and they're on TikTok or whatever they are. How much better would it be instead of having them get rid of that piece of that device to teach them how to use it? How much better would it be to say, open up your Bibles in that free time instead of TikTok? Read in there. Simply hit that back button and go to an area that you know of that preaches the truth and ask questions on how can I get there. Text my youth pastor. What kind of questions do I have here in this? Can you help me answer the question? So often we get into this legalistic aspect of Christianity that we forget that all the things that God created, He created to be able to use for good. It's us that takes them and makes them flawed. It's us that sit in the pews and decide that we want to get on Facebook Marketplace and order a new motorcycle instead of praising God. It's not God, and it's not the piece of equipment. So then, all of a sudden, we start saying, well, I have real issues with that, so the way that I'm going to take care of it is I'm going to make everybody else live under these same laws, and I'm going to make them feel bad if they don't live under them. So all of a sudden, you have the rock. You have Peter listening to everybody else and all the laws that are coming in and all the rules. The same guy that walked with Jesus, the same guy that stepped off of the boat into the water, the same guy that knew he had denied three times and yet had been restored three times, the same guy that saw the holes in the hands or the wrists of Jesus, the same guy that had that personal relationship, all of a sudden started making Christianity something more than it was. Something different. It was had to be by something else other than grace. You had to do a little bit more than have faith. And all of a sudden, as Peter has this conversation with Paul, Paul doesn't go around talking to everybody else trying to tear down Peter's ministry. He doesn't do that. He goes up to Peter and he says, hey, we have a situation here where you have lost what you're doing. You have run a course trying to have favor with everybody else and not with God. You're trying to worry about your own ministry. You're trying to worry about things. Do you remember when you sat down with the Gentiles? Do you remember when you sat down with the Gentiles? If we're still living by the law, if we're still living in legalism, then every time you sat down and you ate food that wasn't cleared for you to eat with people you weren't willing to or weren't supposed to be eating with, you were sinning and you were in sin and you were unclean. Whoa, wait a minute. How often do we worry about what people think about when we're out having a relationship with somebody in proclaiming the gospel to them, in trying to disciple them? How often do we worry about, what if people see me having lunch with that person? What if people see me at the ballpark talking to that former drug addict? You know, they were bad news back in the day. We can't be a part of that. You're supposed to be a preacher. You can't be going somewhere that has that kind of stuff tied to it. You got to be clean and you got to be righteous above everybody else. So often we think in that way and we turn away from what God's wanting us to do. Peter, I believe, he's sitting there as Paul's saying this, and he's like, yeah, but these things don't hurt anything. It doesn't hurt anything to have, let's say, a dress code. We don't want people coming in here and wearing nothing but their underwear, right? We at least want the sign on that says no shoes, no shirt, no service, right? We at least want that, and that's okay. And wait a minute, you know, what if somebody comes off work and they're really dirty and they smell because they've been working all day? It may make somebody else leave. So we're going to ask people to do something a little bit different there. Maybe sit in a different section, right? You don't want to get with the crowd because we all are ready for lunch at the Shoney's afterwards, right? We got reputation to uphold. If people see that kind of thing outside there, they won't come in here. And then all of a sudden, church is gone. It's our thought process. I believe Peter at the beginning of this would have been like anybody else. Nobody likes to be told, hey, I'm doing something wrong. Like, that's not our goal. We don't want to hear that. As a matter of fact, this morning, one of the things that I really wanted to do as part of this message, when we get into the legalism aspect, is I said, Luke, can we just totally do something just a little bit different this morning? And I went through the process of going and asking a few people, what would you think if we turned the main lights off this morning? What would you think if I went click and walked away? And so often we worry about these little changes because what if people get mad that the lights are off and they don't come back? What if we worry that it's such a stumbling block for a light switch to be flipped that somebody doesn't get saved? We get these weird ideas in our head and all of a sudden it keeps us from being able to fully minister to people. So as we had that conversation, one of the greatest things that I heard from everybody here was, hey, cool, I like it. Yeah, whatever. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Wait a minute. Doesn't matter. What do you mean? That's something that we do. You turn the lights on in the sanctuary when you come in there. Doesn't matter. Remember that, what I said at the beginning? It doesn't say through the lights or by the lights or in the lights. By grace through faith in Jesus. Doesn't matter what three letters your Bibles have on it according to which one it is. Doesn't matter that you teach your kids through a picture Bible. The question is, are you proclaiming the true gospel? Doesn't matter what language you're saying it in. And the question is, are you proclaiming Jesus? Are you proclaiming grace? Are you saying anything other than faith? And if you are, anything other than faith. See, works become it's just a fruit that comes out. When you have faith, when you have grace, all the rest comes in. You want to go out and work. You want to go out and do. That's not what he's asking. And as a matter of fact, when we go a little bit farther, one thing that Paul does right here to Peter is he hits home with something. He hits home because he says, see, it makes sense for you and me in a certain situation to have some rules. The question is, now whenever you get somebody that loves Jesus and knows Jesus, said, are you calling Jesus a sinner? Jesus is the same one that sat down with the Gentiles. Are you saying he's unclean? Peter, are you saying he's unclean? Are you saying he shouldn't be out here doing these things and eating with these people? Are you saying he was wrong whenever they went through the fields and ate on the Sabbath? Are you saying he was wrong because the law says he was wrong? Are you saying that Jesus was a sinner? Ooh. Could you imagine? Just put yourself in Peter's situation. Put yourself there. You will be the rock in which I build my church. You were that guy, and somebody saying, the guy that you're preaching about, are you calling him a sinner? Whew. That guy that you say you love, the Messiah, you're calling a sinner? Absolutely not. I'm sure that hit like a ton of bricks when Peter thought that. All this other garbage. You know, I used to worry about how do I proclaim the gospel to everybody and not worry about my own life. Now I'm worried about making sure everybody in my group is happy. I used to go out and just proclaim, no matter who cared or about what I was doing, I was going to make Jesus happy. And now I worry about, am I wearing the right robes? Am I talking to the right people? And then my ministry went away. All those Gentiles that I said that I needed to go proclaim the word to, all those people, because it would have been unclean and it just wasn't savory amongst us church folks to go out and talk to the homeless. It isn't savory for us to go and talk to the ones that are considered sinners out there. As a matter of fact, whenever Paul is writing this, he puts the Gentile sinners in quotations there. He says, you know, those sinners, because they're set aside, right? Us as Christians, those guys are set aside. We weren't ever there. We weren't ever there. We've had Jesus in our lives forever. We don't know what sin is. That's gone. That's the way we have this thought process. And even though we are made new, we are still sinners. We still need Jesus. Says, if I rebuild those things that I tore down, I show myself to be a lawbreaker. For through the law, I died to the law. Whew. Law doesn't bring grace. Law brings condemnation. Law shows all the ways that we fall short. The law shows death. The law shows you where you failed and why you must take the punishment. And Jesus came and tore the veil and replaced the law with grace. Replace the law with grace. It doesn't mean that we just go out and live aimlessly. It means we strive to be in a closer relationship with God. We strive to be within His will. And we live in a way that glorifies Him, whether the outside world thinks it's kosher or not. Whether the church thinks it's kosher or not. If it's God glorifying and kingdom building, we do it. Truly, we are free in Christ. How, those words right there, something that for thousands of years people had been living by, the law, I died to the law so that I live for God. I've been crucified with Christ. I am no longer alive, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith. That word, faith. Christ and faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Grace. Grace, faith in Jesus Christ. It's through the entire Scriptures. We need nothing else. You don't need your fancy penny loafers. You don't need your NIV or KJV. You don't need those things to be able. You don't need a pew. You don't need a chair. You don't need a building. You don't need a car. A car. Tell me I don't need a car. As a matter of fact, let me tell you how this legalism, how it works. How whenever we get into an aspect of certain things are good and certain things are bad. One of the most dangerous things that you can do today, is get up, get in your car, and drive to church. And then get up out of the pew, get in your car, and drive home. And so you're taking a risk every single day. As a matter of fact, if you look at all the numbers and everything, cars have to be terrible, right? They've got to be bad, horrible, because somehow they fell and life is lost in those cars. Although yesterday there was a ball game over here at Cherokee Middle School, and one of the kids was running on the field, turned around and looked, and hit his head on a pole. Fell to the ground. The coaches come out and they talk to him. Some say he might have passed out. They don't know. But the kid said, "No, I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm good." So he gets up and he walks to the dugout and he grabs his bat and he goes and is getting ready to go back. He says, "Coach, my head's hurting really, really bad." And the next thing you know, he starts throwing up on the field. They try and get a hold of his parents, and nobody can get a hold of him, and they can't figure out what's going on. They need to get him to care, and all of a sudden, an ambulance shows up. And the kid is taken in the ambulance to Children's Hospital in Knoxville. Now, parents, put yourself in this situation. How thankful are you that you have a car that can get you to downtown Knoxville in about 45 minutes, and if you got a kid with a head injury, in about 30? How thankful are you? How much is it worth the risk to get your kid into a safe situation? Sometimes it's worth the risk to save the life. See, the way would be grab your horse and your buggy and take all day and take him up there. See if he makes it. See what happens. Things that some people consider bad, that they consider horrible, could have saved a life. How much more are the things that we do for Christ that sometimes the church thinks is wrong, but it saves a soul? Because we're in Christ. I'm not saying just live lawlessly. That is not what I'm saying. I'm saying truly be in God's grace with God's plan, with His will thought out in your life. Quit worrying about the same things that Peter was worried about. Quit worrying about what the person in the pew in front of you thinks. Quit worrying about what the church down the road thinks of what you're doing. Quit worrying what the neighbors think. Quit worrying about what even your own family thinks. If it's what God needs you to do, we need to step up and we need to be bold. Simply grace. Simply grace. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you for your word. I thank you even for allowing Peter in his ministry when he was so on fire to kind of stray slightly, Lord, so that whenever he was rebuked by Paul, and I thank you for Paul, Luke, I thank you for Paul rebuking him, but to slightly be astray so that when he came back into your plan, into your will, it meant more to him, Lord. I thank you for Paul being bold enough to say, if you say what you're doing is right, then you're calling Jesus a sinner. And I thank you for Peter taking those words and lovingly accepting them, for embracing that rebuke, Lord, for changing who he was rather than trying to change who you are. Lord, as we go through this series in the next few weeks, Lord, I just ask that when we wake up in the morning, when we take our first breath, that when we go and eat the first thing, when we brush our teeth, when we go to work, whenever we turn on that radio or whatever we do through the rest of the day, we play that ball game, when we have those hard times, when we tell somebody they need to do something just because that's the way we've always done it, that we think of those three phrases, Lord. By grace, through faith, in Jesus Christ, and that is it. Lord, I ask that as we're sitting here today and we're just taking in your word, Lord, that we don't just allow it to be just consumed and then released, Lord, in a way that just dumps it. Lord, I ask that we consume it, that we use it, that we not only use it, but we allow it to strengthen us, Lord, that you strengthen us through your word, that we take that word and we go out and we proclaim it. Lord, I ask that we be a church, that we be the type of church that is just on fire. desire for going and seeking the lost at day 10,000 as we were on day one when we were first planted, Lord. Lord, I ask that in that same way when we sat in that house and said we want to be a church that just follows God no matter what, that we are the same type of church today, tomorrow, and 10 years from now, Lord, that no matter what we do, that our main goal is not to build ourselves, to build you. Lord, I thank you for allowing Jesus to come in to show us grace so that we don't have to die by the law. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.